Praise the Lord. That hallelujah is weak. You know why it was weak? You thought that was for me. But every hallelujah is for God. So shout it to the Most High God. Amen. 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 So we started a sermon series last week. Our time is fast spent. The Lord will help me go through this. Not too fast that I lose the point, but quickly enough that we get through what the Lord will have us hear about today. You know, a thought that I was dwelling on recently is, and I was sharing with the folks in the water baptismal class we started today. If your child missed, there will be a makeup class during the week. So please talk to Brother Eric. Brother Eric, please rise. That's the person to see. Tell him, he will tell you when the makeup class will be, you know, for class one. But I was telling the those attending this morning that it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in the Big Bang Theory than to believe in a creator. Amen? And I gave them a very simple example. Can anybody, is it conceivable in anyone's mind that this phone came together by an explosion? So everything just exploded and this Note 3 just came together. Can you conceive that in your mind? Well, that is what is being peddled with the Big Bang Theory. That everything, there was a big explosion. And after the explosion, the water went aside and the soil went aside and the atoms and the molecules and the elements, things were formed as a consequence of that explosion. If you can think of it like this, you will know that that is not possible. You know, and when you think about nature in itself, we're not preaching science. I'm going to get to the word in a minute. I just want to give you some thoughts before we get into the word this morning. When you think about nature, for those of us that have done chemistry, you know, the atom has electrons in it, and then the nucleus, you have the protons and the neutrons, and there's a force that is pulling them, and you have what is called centripetal forces, centrifugal forces, and all of these forces. Amen? The fact that everything is still being held together is proof to you that the creator is still in charge of his creation. How many of you wake up in the morning and you are afraid that the heaven will just drop upon your head? That the skies will just fall? Anybody afraid? You know, unconsciously, you have confidence in that, but your confidence is based on the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. You know, I was reading an article some time ago, and I don't want to reference it too much now because I don't remember it very clearly. But the point of the article is that the force that causes elements and atoms and all of those things to stay together, nobody knows the source of it. But we do know the source of it. Because the Bible says he upholds all things. He holds all things together by the word of his power. By the word of his power. He's the one holding it together. The reason the sodium particle remains sodium in the, what do you call it now? That table. Help me now. Periodic table is number 11. And it has not changed. It will remain 11. You know why? Because the creator has set sodium as sodium, and he said, sodium, you will have 11 electrons, and that's going to be your name. And it remains sodium. The fact that everything is staying together the way you have always known them is proof to you that the creator is in charge of his creation. And that is peace of mind. That is peace of mind. Why do I say it is peace of mind? So if the creator is still in charge of his creation, it means he's in charge of my life. Amen. It means everything that may seemingly be falling apart in my life, none of it is scaring him. Listen to this. You know how series of events begin to happen in your life and panic takes over your life. There's a check you are expecting in the mail and the check is not coming through and you have mortgage to pay that you were relying on that check. You have car notes to pay, you were relying on that check. What happens? Fear grips you. But can I tell you something today? When you understand that the one that made you, the one that fashioned you, the one that put your life together, the one that knows where you began from and knows where you are going to end, the one that has control over everything, when you understand is in charge, it will give you peace of mind. It is peace of mind. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. And that is why we call him Jehovah Shalom, the God of my peace. Why? Because the Bible tells us, he said, all the waters that is in the world, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, give me the other oceans. Don't tell me I know more than you. I said Indian Ocean, Pacific, Atlantic, Indian. You don't know the oceans of the world. Okay, that's homework. That's homework. All the oceans and all the rivers. River Mississippi, River Nile, River Niger, River Mediterranean Sea. That's a sea, ocean. See? Okay. All the oceans, all the waters of the oceans, all the waters of the rivers, he has everything in the hollow of his palm. This is the God we're talking about. We're not talking about a small God. We are not talking about a mediocre God. We are not talking about a God that is afraid of issues and circumstances. Amen? You know, there's a way you are struggling in your life and you begin to think God himself is struggling. A lot of times, the way we look at God is the way we see ourselves. A lot of times, the way we see God is the way we see our dad that is limited. Daddy, I need money. Say, come back tomorrow. And then you go tomorrow, say, I'm sorry, baby. Come back next week. And it's next week, he just keeps putting you off and putting you off. God does not put people off. The Bible says, the cattle upon a thousand hills, they belong to him. The silver, he's got it. The gold, he has it. The oil belongs to him. All it takes for God to change a man's story is one miracle. Somebody say one miracle. One miracle. One testimony can permanently change your life. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery. From slavery, he went to prison. From prison, they thought his life was over. One day. Somebody say one day.
One day.
I believe that one day is for somebody here today. One day, one day, one day, one day, one day. One day he had an opportunity to stand before the most powerful man of his time. And the powerful man had a problem. Can you see how God orchestrates? The most powerful man in the world at the time had a problem. All the people around him could not solve that problem. Do you know your significance in life is determined by the amount of problems you can solve? The kind of solutions you can present, the kinds of solutions you can profile determines how you'll be rewarded in life. That is why the CEOs that sit in the office drinking coffee, they make more money than the guys on the field sweating it out in the sun. You know what? Solutions. God will put some secrets in your hands. Yeah. Jehovah will put some secrets in your hands in the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, the Creator is in charge of his creation, and I am part of his creation, so he's in charge of my life. That gives me confidence. That gives me hope. I am not where I want to be, but I'm not where the devil wants me to be either. And I know God. Listen to this. Let me share another thought with you. I'm telling you the way I think, the way I process information. Maybe it will help you too, and I'm sure he will. It will. Listen to me. When I look at my life sometimes, and I see, you know, where I am, and I'm not happy, I'm not comfortable, I'm not content, I say, Lord, I want more. I want to do more. I want to, you know, I just want more. When I look at my life, I sometimes just look in the mirror, I look at myself, and I ask myself, is this all God can do? Amen? The fact that I can answer no to that question, because this is not all God can do. I remember about 11 years ago when we started, Daddy and Mommy will bear me witness. We were in a hotel, you know, conference hall. It was just Debo, Sister Kweju, and the Agbolas. You know, just a bunch of us. And we're very happy. And later on, Cynthia joined us, you know, with her daughters. You know, it was just a bunch of us, and we're very happy. And I was telling myself that God will do more. God will do more. From there, he moved us to a little corner up the street. Amen? We were in one suite. I said, God will do more. God will do more. And then he gave us the whole building. And we were so happy. In fact, we were besides ourselves. I remember the construction. We were knocking things out. I said, yeah. The whole building we had back then is smaller than this sanctuary space. God will do more for you. I said, God will do more for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, the Creator is in charge of His creation. He's in charge of His creation. The last time, for the benefit of those that were not here last time, we established a few things. We started looking at Jehovah Shalom, and we were looking from the book of Judges. And I said two things that we see as a recurring theme in the book of Judges. Number one is the children, the Bible will say, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. And God was vexed. And God gave them up to their enemies. And then again, the second theme says, and they repented. And the Lord delivered them from their enemies. And number two, we saw that God called himself Jehovah, the self-existing one, and all the appellations that we add to it are what men experience, and they called God. Jehovah Shalom is what Gideon called him. Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh because he provided for him. Amen. Ezekiel called him Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there. Praise the Lord. David called him Jehovah Rohi, the Lord that is my shepherd. Based on their experiences, they called God. And I told us that God is more than any name we can call him. God is better than anything we can call him or describe him by. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Shalom is the God, my peace. And we said peace is not the absence of storm. Rather, peace is calm in the midst of storm. May the Lord give somebody an answer of peace. In the name of Jesus. And we saw that disobedience is costly from the life of the Israelites, but repentance will open the door of mercy. And I said something, and I want you to remember this. I want you to continue to remember this. I told us everything in our life has an expiration date on it. Every suffering has an expiration date on it. Every trouble has an expiration date on it. Jesus said, everything concerning me has an end. There's an end to it. It will not last forever. Amen. I said that problem will not last forever. That problematic situation, that problematic boss, it can't live forever. It can't outlive your God. You will outlive that situation. Amen. In the mighty name. And it's important that we know these things. But today, we're going to read from Judges. Judges chapter 6 from verse 1 to the 12th verse. I will ask us to please rise for the reading of the word of God. Help me, Jesus. Okay. Judges chapter 6 from verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. Somebody say 7 years. So there was an expiration date put to it from the very beginning. The day the trouble started, God already marked a date for it to end. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Verse 3. And so it was when the children of Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. There were so many of them, they were like grasshoppers. And for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, verse 8, and this is where we're going to really hunker down today, that the Lord sent a prophet. Somebody say a prophet. The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. Verse 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. May the Lord bless you. Please sit down. God bless the reading of his word. In mathematics, there's something we talk about. They give you some problems to solve, right? And then you come up with the solutions. I want to tell you something this morning. For every mathematical problem, there is a solution. The fact that you came up with a wrong answer does not mean there's no solution to that problem. Praise the Lord. That's why some people had A, and some had B, and some had C, and some had, don't worry about it. Amen. But for every problem, there is a solution. The children of Israel had some problems in this text that we have read. And we're going to look at their problems very quickly. And then we'll consider the solutions. And I believe God is speaking to somebody directly this morning. Amen. The number one problem they had were the Midianites. In verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, and the hand of the Midian prevailed over Israel. It means they had an upper hand over their lives. I'm sure you know situations in which someone else had an upper hand over your life. And it didn't feel good at all. You know, you tried, you fought, and all of these things. But the Bible is telling us here that the Midianites prevailed over the Israelites because they had a stronger hand. They had a bigger hand. They had what it took, and they oppressed the children of Israel. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 50, if you read from the 30th verse down, it says, and the hand of the enemy prevailed over the children of Judah and the children of Israel. He said, and those that held on to them held on fast to them and will not let them go. But he says, their Redeemer is strong. Somebody say, strong Redeemer. He said, but their Redeemer is strong. They have a strong Redeemer. And the strong Redeemer delivered them. The Lord will deliver you from everything that is holding fast unto you, that will not let you go, in the mighty name of Jesus. So they had a problem, and it was a major problem. And this major problem caused them to go into hiding. The Bible says they made dens in the mountains. They had caves. They were in hiding. They were in hiding. You know, and there are some of us that are in hiding today. You know, even in church, some people are not able to be themselves because they are afraid that the baggage they are carrying, when people get close to them, they will know about their baggage. The children of Israel were in hiding because of the Midianites. Some people are in hiding today because of immigration, because of the law. Some people are walking down the street looking over their shoulder day by day. And this was the case of the children of Israel. They were hardworking. We're not talking about laziness now. They were hardworking. And guess what? Their enemy didn't bother them when they are sowing. When they are planting, it leaves them to plant. The enemy came to attack their harvest. The prayer I prayed for you this morning, I hope you will pray the same for yourself. Everything that is attacking your harvest, the Lord will deal with them. Because many people are working hard. It's not a problem of laziness. You work hard, but you have nothing to show for it. You work very hard. You know, there's a story of a very, very dear sister to me. Very dear. Worked 100 hours a week. You think it's not possible? It's possible, I'm telling you. True life story. 100 hours a week. Goes from one job to another, from this job to another, from the other job to the other job, day by day, nonstop. Nonstop. The enemy didn't bother her while she was working. The enemy waited for the harvest. Can you imagine working 100 hours a week? What your tax return is going to look like at the end of the year? This individual had problem with immigration papers. So was working under somebody else's name. You know, so as soon as she files her tax return, hello, hello, it's tax season. Have you filed? Yeah. Did you put the check in my account? Yeah. Everything robbing you of your harvest, the Lord will give you deliverance today. The Lord will set you free today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that is saying you will not enjoy this life, everything that is looking at you suffering and working and laboring and says, I will wait until the time of harvest. The next time they show up, they will be disappointed. I said, the next time they show up, they will be disappointed. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is your season of harvest. Somebody shout, harvest! Shout, harvest! It is your season to reap the labor of your hard work. There's a story in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. The Bible calls the lady the widow of Nain. The widow of Nain, obviously, you know, she lost her husband. The enemy took her husband. If you know Bible history, you will know what it means for a woman to be a widow in Bible days. It's not a good thing. In fact, it's the most difficult life for a woman to live. When a woman is widowed, the only thing she has is her son or sons. And the enemy watched this boy, watched him grow up to the age where he was able to help the mother. And then the enemy killed the boy. When it was time for her to harvest, the enemy snuffed life out of the little boy. And the woman, can you imagine her state? Weeping, she was beside herself. And the funeral procession was going. As they got to the gate of the city, someone said the gate of the city. The gate is where you go out and come in. As they were going out, Jesus was coming in. Jesus will meet with you today. I said, Jesus will meet with you at the gate of your life. In the name of Jesus. At that gate, Jesus met them. Nobody asked him anything. The woman didn't say, oh, Jesus, help me. No prayer. Jesus was just, as they were going and crying, and Jesus saw the mourning, it was so heavy, spirit of heaviness. Jesus stopped for her. May Jesus stop for you today. Amen. Jesus, of his own free will and volition, touched the coffin, and the boy came back to life. And when you read that Luke 7, the Bible says, and the one that was dead sat up eating and talking. Everything that ought to be alive in your life that is dead, the Lord will touch it today. Amen. I said Jehovah will touch it today. Amen. Your degrees that you imported from your country of origin that has been useless to you since you have been in America, the Lord will make a way for you. I said the Lord will make a way for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The enemy waited for her until harvest was ripe. Your story has changed too. I want you to know that. Your story has changed. Your story has changed. Let me tell you something. And I really need to finish now. Listen to this. Really listen to this. When God saw their situation, he offered them two solutions. The first, he sent them a prophet. What is the job of a prophet? A true prophet warns. A prophet will warn you. What you're doing is dangerous. Amen? God sent prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn them. Right? God sent prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah. He said, put your house in order. You're a dead man. A prophet warns. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 and 3, I believe. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3, 5, 2 and 3. No, it's further down. It says, do not despise prophesying. In fact, another translation says, do not disregard the words of the prophet. There's a lady, a member of this church. You know, we've been praying some powerful prayers recently, right? We've been praying some powerful prayers. So one of those times, about 3 weeks ago, when we're praying in the service, we prayed from Deuteronomy 23 and verse 5. That the Bible says, the Lord turned the curse into a blessing for the children of Israel. She said she took that. I believe she'll be sharing her testimony next Sunday. She said she took that word and she went home and she was praying it and she was praying it and she was praying it. You know what? Because she believed the word that came out of the mouth of the prophet. And she began to pray and pray and pray. This individual had a blessing in her life that the enemy was using as a disadvantage to her life. She's like, Lord, This is not bad news. This is good news, what I have. How come they are trying to make this good news bad news for me? So she began to pray. Say, Lord, I said at that service that every disadvantage, God will turn to an advantage for you. Amen. And she believed it and ran with it. She's been applying for jobs. They will interview on the phone. She will do all manner of interviews. When she shows up, they will say, No deal. After this, she went again. That week, she began to make phone calls, applying for jobs again. That week, she got 6 job interviews. That week. After that Sunday, that week, she had 6 job interviews. By the end of that week, she had 4 job offers. 4 job offers. So now she has a totally new set of problems. Which one do I pick out of these 4 jobs? And guess what? Earlier on in the year, she had a done deal that the enemy stole from her. Guess what? Each one of those 4 jobs were better than the one the enemy stole from her. I am telling you the word of the Lord this morning. As a prophet of God, I decree and I declare today,
Every lost opportunity, the Lord will restore unto you. The creator that is in charge of his creation, it will fix everything and work it right. He will work it out for his glory and for his praise. If you believe it, shout hallelujah.
Number one is send them a prophet. Please be seated. Number two is send them an angel. Listen close to this. Verse 11 of Judges chapter 6. He said, listen to this. If you rush, you will miss the point. He said, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joshua the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Listen. God sent him an angel. When the angel came, the angel did not appear to him. Verse 11. He said, and the angel came and sat under the oak tree. Gideon did not see that angel, but the angel was present there. Can I tell you this morning, the solution is sitting by you. It has just not been revealed to you yet. The answer is right next to you. It has just not been revealed to you yet. You know, and I began to ask myself the question. I said, Lord, so if the solution, you know, God does not hide things from us. He hides them for us. Two different things. When you hide something from somebody, you don't want them to see, you don't want them to have it. When you hide it for them, it is for them, but it's just not time for them to have it just yet. So I began to ask, I said, Lord, what qualifies for a quick revealing of the solution? Open to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. The story here, if you read from the beginning, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord left Saul because of his problems. The Spirit of the Lord left him, and an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. And they told him, they said, Master, because God has left you, it will be a good thing for us to look for, you know, someone to play music for you when the devil is dealing with you. You know, so that the devil, from the anointing of the worship, the devil can leave you alone. He said, okay, get somebody like that for me. Listen to this. Verse 18, please. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Listen, listen to this. The question is not so much related to the answer. They are looking for someone that can play music, right? The first thing he said, he's cunning in playing. Thank God. Then he went on to say, he's a mighty man, he's a valiant man, he's a respectable man, he's a comely man, he's prudent in matters, and the Lord is with him. Listen to me. The angel of the Lord came, sir, sat under the oak tree and was observing Gideon and was looking at him. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he waited, but the angel was observing him. The angel was looking for requirements and qualifications. That will this one meet the requirement? We know he's weak. We know he's afraid. We know he doesn't feel or think anything of himself. We know he has low self-esteem. We know he doesn't have the courage to do this thing. But does he have the other things that are required? Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man, he can put such thing in him that would decimate his enemies. So God was not worried about strength. God was not worried about any of those things. God knew he could work it out all by himself. He said, but we have to look at this guy. Is he faithful? Amen. Is he faithful? Is he reliable? Is he dependable? Is he truthful? Is he honest? Is he a man of God? Is he a man that fears God? A man or a man that fears man? The angel was looking for godly traits and character in Gideon. Say, how do I know this? When Gideon himself gave a report about his life, you could tell that this was a nobody. So God doesn't need you to be somebody before he can use you as a somebody. You can be a nobody, and God will take you from right there. He says, 1 Samuel chapter 2, he's the one that takes a beggar from the dunghill and sets him in the palace amongst the princes. So God is not worried about those things you are worried about. Oh, I have to qualify myself. Oh, I have to get certification. Oh, I have. Those things are important. Don't misunderstand me. They are important. But when it comes down to it, really, God can do anything. God can do anything. Joseph did not go to the school of nothing. God, he did not go to no school. He just went to the school of the Holy Spirit. And when the time came to it, God created a problem in the land that this man was the one that was qualified to serve. David was a shepherd boy. I've told you time and time and again before, shepherds were disregarded in the community. It was an odd job. You know how people say, I have to do odd jobs before I get the real job? He was doing odd jobs. And that was the man that was taken to the palace because he had a trait of God in him. Listen to me. Men and women are watching you and observing you, whether you live for God or you live for yourself. When it comes down to it and the angel is going to reveal himself, he's just going to make himself known to those that have met the requirement. The solution is right there. It's right next to you. But have you met the requirement? Please rise to your feet. Have you met the requirement? Have I met the requirement? Have I met the requirement? Have I met the requirement? Hallelujah. I want you to bow your hearts this morning. How is your walk with God? How is your relationship with God? How is the journey so far? I just told you this morning, the Creator is in charge of his creation. Whatever you may be going through now, he may be facing you. Sapphire, he doesn't face God. He doesn't face God. But do you meet the requirement? Please close your eyes. It helps you to focus. It really does. Close your eyes. It's not time to look around. You have plenty of time to look around. But please close your eyes. Focus on God, just God alone this time. Focus on him alone. And as you focus on him, believe me, he will reveal to you right this moment where you are falling short. The things you need to fix. You are worried about things that God doesn't need to take you to where you need to be. The number one requirement is salvation. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? If you call him Savior, is he your Lord? Are you living a life that is in obedience to his word? What is righteousness to you? What is holiness to you? The angel of the Lord is right there. Remember, the angel came and sat under the oak tree, but did not try to help Gideon. Was just looking at him, suffering. So the angel is right there. All you need is the manifestation of the angel of the Lord in your life, and the problems are over. The issues are over. The angel is right there. He's right there. If you need to make peace with God, I want you to come forward quickly, please. I want to pray with you. I have prayed. And I know that I told the ministers this morning that this service is going to be an unusual service today. If you need to make corrections, adjustments with God, come forward. Come forward very quickly. Don't mind whether anybody is coming or nobody is coming. You just come for yourself. Anybody else. I want to make peace with God. He's Jehovah Shalom. That's his name. But you have to make peace with him to start with. You have to make peace with him. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, I want to make peace. I want to be at peace with this God. I want to be at peace with Him. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. I'm tired of struggling. Working 100 hours a week, I'm missing the harvest. I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired. I want to make peace with you. I want to make peace with you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you. In my life right now, I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you. My life is in crisis. My life is in crisis. And you are the only one that can help me. I need you. I need you. I need you. My children. My children. I need you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jehovah. If you are in front, I want you to just lift up both hands and talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, O Lord. Touch me. Touch me, Jehovah. Touch me, King of Kings. Touch me, Lord of Lords. Lord, your children come to you this morning, this afternoon rather, and they come to make peace with you. They come to make peace with you. Oh, Father, touch them, oh God. Touch them, oh God. Touch them, oh God. A renewal, a renewal, a renewal in the name of Jesus. Lebro kasanta liya radabo shekata. Hey, karia bakundaria radabo shanta. Receive. Receive the grace and the mercy of God. The grace and the mercy of God. Lebro kosatalia bakorada. Jendelia, produ jaga, bega. I stand in agreement with you this day. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Spirit of the living God. Breathe upon this one. Breathe upon them. Breathe upon them. Breathe upon them, O Lord. Le karia bakusa katande aria gada gada. Oh, je karia bakorada mo shantali arada da. Oh, peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of Jehovah. The peace of Jehovah. The peace of Jehovah that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus. Lord, work out your will. Work out your purpose. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Have your will, Lord. Have your will, Lord. Have your will, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, Jehovah. Have your way, Jehovah. Have your way.